Good morning, and welcome to the First Parish Church of Stone Acton, a welcoming Unitarian Universalist community congregation. My name is Lee Cooperrider, and I serve on the Board of Trustees. Child care is available in its pretty new location across the on the lower level of Fellowship Hall across the parking lot. Everyone's invited to coffee hour after the service. If you've been here a while and want to be extra friendly, pick up a green mug. If you're new, go find somebody with a green mug and talk to them about our church. If this is your first time with us, we're very happy to have you here. Please sign the guest book in the vestibule in the front entrance. We encourage you to join us for coffee hour, and where you can sip delicious free fair trade coffee and learn more about us at the visitor table or from people with a green mug.
Before we greet each other, I'd like us all to greet Sam Williams, who will be our guest preacher today, and I'll tell you more about Sam later. But Sam is the Chief Operating Officer for our Unitarian Universalist Urban Ministry. So welcome, Sam. And as community is so important to us, at this service we begin with an opportunity to greet your neighbor. Please reach out to any folks who may be visiting with us for the first time or folks that you just haven't had a chance to make yourself known to. Extend your hand and welcome and invite them over to coffee hour. Hush and listen. This morning, somebody is calling your name. Sounds like freedom, and it sounds like justice. As we celebrate our connection to the Unitarian Universalist Urban Ministry this morning, it sounds like justice. that is calling our name. We celebrate this morning the work of the Unitarian Universalist Ministry and the ways that this church is able to help do that work, the ways we are able to help transform lives while at the same time we are transformed by our giving and our service. In the words of Theodore Parker, the moral arch of the universe is long, but it bends towards justice. And here at First Parish, we help to bend the arc in many ways, but particularly in the ways that we give of our time and our talents and our efforts to the Unitarian Universalist Urban Ministry. As the O'Brien family now comes forward to light our chalice, I invite you to open to the chalice lighting words, which we'll read together in unison. We bring a spark of the sacred flame that burns in each of us to rekindle our common flame. Blessed is the fire that burns deep in the soul. It is the flame of the human spirit, touched into being by the mystery of life. It is the fire of reason, the fire of compassion, the fire of community, the fire of justice, the fire of faith. It is the fire of love burning deep in the human heart, the divine glow in every life. I invite you now to come and go with me on a journey to that land of freedom and justice where people sing out with joy. Love is the spirit of this church and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. I want to talk with everyone about our urban ministry. And to do that, I want to just start with those words, those three words, our, urban, and ministry. And let's start backwards. Let's start with ministry first. Who can tell me what ministry is? Anybody? You must have some idea. What does a minister do? Helps people. Thank you. Thank you. Our ministry is helping. Ministry is helping people. So that first word, ministry, talks about what it is that we do. We help people. Now that middle word, urban, does anyone know where that comes from? Yes. It means city-like, and it means city. And is there a big city somewhere around here? Yes. Boston. That's right. Our urban ministry serves the city of Boston, mostly in the Roxbury area, but in the other neighborhoods of Boston as well. So we now know what it is that we do, and that's help people. We now know where it is, and now we come to the word our, and that's whose it is, okay? It's our urban ministry. We support the ministry and do some of the ministry, and when I say we, I mean all of us, because this church, the First Parish of Stowe and Acton, is one of the nearly 50 congregations that sponsors the urban ministry. It's our urban ministry, and we support it not only with our money, but with our efforts. Now, this morning, I want to take you there in your mind, because just yesterday, six of our youth and seven adults were in the urban ministry. If you were there yesterday, stand up. Anyone who's here this morning that was there? Yeah. So they were there. And you know what we did? We brought in breakfast with bagels and bananas and granola bars and juice and all sorts of things. And we were there to put on the program for the younger kids that call themselves the Explorers Club. So we hid pumpkins out in the field, and all the kids came out and found a pumpkin. And then we helped them paint the pumpkins. And they played. We played games with them. We did apple bobbing, and people got good and wet. And we played switch, which Michelle taught me how to play, and I led switch. It was a lot of fun. But that's just one of the things the most recent way we've helped with the work of urban ministry. Do you know people from this church have helped in other ways? Let me tell you some of the ways they've helped. They've helped by tutoring high school and junior high school kids after school. They've served on committees at the urban ministry. I serve on the board of the urban ministry, and I serve as the chair of the program committee. We collect often much-needed items for Renewal House, everything from baby furniture to blankets and things like that. And you know, we've made welcome bags for the residents who are fleeing for safety and arrive at the shelter with nothing really at all. We bring Christmas gifts, and we'll do it again this year, to every child of every family in that Renewal House shelter. And one of us has organized the library of books for children at the urban ministry. And we've cooked meals for the youth, and some of us have even taken some of the urban ministry students on airplane rides. So that's just to name a few things that we're doing. And I wanted to let you know that there's a purple sheet somewhere. Purple, there it is. Purple sheet in your order of service, because it tells you that there are two more opportunities where you can connect with the urban ministry just this month. On October 26th, we are going to be serving our Mexican meal, which I think is becoming an annual event. It's backed by popular demand. We'll be serving that, and if you're interested in that and being involved in that, you can sign up over coffee hour. And also, there's going to be a wonderful theater presentation called Spark, which is both a fundraiser for the Urban Ministry Renewal House as well as a real opportunity to learn more through theater and music about the issues around domestic violence in our world today and in families. And so I invite as many of you to join me for that as you can. You can sign up for tickets. They're $25, but I also have a few donated tickets. So anyone who would like to go who cannot afford a ticket, you see me, and I will make that possible too. Okay. Well, a lot about urban ministry. We have to keep it in our minds. This is our Urban Ministry Month, but we participate in the urban ministry all year long. I'd now like to invite Ali Matur, I think. Am I right? Yep. Who's going to be our lantern bearer. And as is our custom, we light a flame and a lantern from our common flame, which will lead our children, youth, and teachers to religious education this morning. So please follow Ali and the lantern if you're going to RE. We, in our time of silence, seek the courage to face our own challenges and the resolve to support, comfort, and help others who are experiencing difficult times. Words from a poem by Mary Oliver entitled Praying will lead us into our time of silence. It doesn't have to be the blue iris. It could be weeds in a vacant lot or a few small stones. Just pay attention. Then patch a few words together and don't try to make them elaborate. This isn't a contest, but the doorway into thanks and a silence in which another voice may speak. Let us gently leave our time of shared silence. The work of the urban ministry is very important work, and because we help with it, it is one of the ways that we do put our faith into action, one of the ways we do the work of justice, one of the ways that we show we really believe in the principle of equal worth and dignity of every person. You know, at this time when murders continue in the city of Boston of children, we keep kids safe in an after-school program and on weekends. At a time when the graduation rate and the college acceptance rate for inner-city kids is terribly low, we help them get through high school and go to college. And Sam confirmed for me again what I think is an amazing statistic, that last year every single one of our graduating seniors got into college. That is extraordinary. At a time when domestic violence is on the rise, we continue to operate the oldest domestic violence shelter in the city of Boston, and we are the oldest social service agency in this country. The urban ministry needs our financial support to continue to do that work. And during the month of October, we give one half of our non-pledge offering to the urban ministry. So I ask you to be generous. There's a lot of kids in Roxbury, men in transition, and families who've fled abuse that are counting on us to do that. As the choir sings what is a particularly appropriate anthem, I think, for today, because and our children are now studying the Hebrew scriptures, and today we are in Washington are dedicating the new Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial. Both texts from both of those sources are pulled together in the anthem that you're going to hear. So as you listen to the wonderful music, the morning offering will be gratefully accepted.
There is no freedom, the wise man said, let justice roll down, when the poor cry out for shelter and bread, let justice roll down like a mighty stream.
Oh, children, don't you get weary, walk together, believe in the dream, when the way gets rough, we will make a new way.
Hatred will never drive out hate. Justice, hold down, hold down. Remember, our love will make us great.
When brutality threatens our daughters and sons, may our voices ring out above the guns.
When fists rise up to strike a blow,
let songs roll down, roll down.
May the poets remind us of what we know.
Let songs roll down like a mighty stream. Oh, children, don't you get weary. Walk together, believe in the dream. When the way gets rough, we will make a new way.
Step by step and one by one,
let justice roll down, roll down.
They can kill the prophet, but the dream lives on.
It's a real pleasure to welcome Sam Williams to our pulpit. Sam and I said about 7 years, but I think it's more like 8 or 9 years. How long have you been at Urban Ministry?
Close to 11.
Okay. Well, it's about 9 years, I think, that Sam and I have known each other, at least that long. But it's wonderful to welcome him. Sam is the Chief Operating Officer of the Urban Ministry, and there's a bio in your program about him, but I just want to let you know a couple of things that I think are important. Sam's an extraordinary person in terms of human services in the city of Boston. In his roles at the Urban Ministry, which have been many, he is now responsible for the management of all the programs that we offer there, youth programs, including the after-school, weekend, and summer programs, serving elementary, middle, and high school students. He oversees Renewal House, the domestic violence shelter, United Souls program, which is a group for men in transition, many of whom are coming from prison. It's a wonderful men's group. Sam has been involved in so many different kinds of activities in the city of Boston, ranging from prison rehabilitation and reentry, racial profiling issues, community economic development, urban planning, youth development, and public safety. Sam is a public speaker, a trainer, as you'll see, a writer, and you'll even see that he's a poet, too. So it's just a great pleasure to welcome Sam to, we'll first share one of his poems with you, and then we'll be your preacher.
Thank you, Tom. So I will not give any commentary on the poem until I do the sermon. But the poem is entitled Human Potential, and it reads like this. The body is like a vessel. If it is pure, it will remain safe. But the turbulences of life deceptions can influence actions to be unchaste. Thinking is a method, and through its knowledge, we'll learn the rules. Diamond, emeralds, and rubies in this world are known as jewels. A comparison for us to learn from. In all of our efforts, there should be a rule that the value of our minds are greater than any of those jewels. If perchance you can correct me, just reflect on what I say. Stones of values have limited meaning, but the human nature is here to stay. Mankind's existence comes from progress, and this progress will help us all to rise above the heights of God's creation. The more you want, the more you'll strive. Liberation is no real factor, because if you're mentally and emotionally free, you need no walls. Self-determination of your purpose will keep you healthy and standing tall. Get a grip on where you're going and focus in on every need. Step by step, we must always be planning. To conquer life, we'll need a strategy. Good morning once again. My name is Sam Williams, and as Reverend Rossiello mentioned, I'm the Chief Operating Officer of the Unitarian Universalist Urban Ministry. And I want to begin by just bringing greetings from our Senior Minister and Executive Director, Reverend Catherine Singhas, and we have a staff member in the audience, Ms. Ruth Crocker, who's our Development Director, so I want to acknowledge her for the great work she does. And just want to begin by just saying thank you to this congregation for your belief, your generosity, all that Reverend Rossiello has mentioned in regards to support us in the work that we do. Tom has been a friend of ours and the staff and the clients that we serve for many years. So it's always a pleasure to come out and to say hello and also just be reminded of the relationship that we have and continues to hold on to. We would not be able to do what we do today without the support and generosity and belief in what congregations like yours and the others who support us provide. You allow our work to be multiplied many more times than I think we can even imagine. The children, the family, the men and women who are transitioned. We don't always get to see the impact that we have on these people's lives, but I can imagine the people who come back and tell us thank you, that we're doing an excellent job. Our mission is about uniting communities and transforming lives. And as Tom talked about, in that work, we are transformed too, which is so critically important because it's about our growth and development it's about reciprocity. It's about being touched and touching others. And it's so critical. The poem that I wrote, that I recited earlier, A Human Potential, I wrote that some years ago when I was trying to really figure out my own potential, really trying to make sense out of a lot of, and I'll call it insanity, a lot of insanity and darkness and pain and confusion that I went through when I was younger. And I was really on the fence. And growing up in Roxbury, dealing with a lot of dysfunctions at home and all the stuff that I seen, I was really on the fence. And one thing that I didn't realize is that there were a lot of gifts that I had that I almost threw away. And there were both physical gifts and emotional gifts. And today, the poet, the speaker, the trainer that I am, are gifts that when I was younger and I was about to throw those things away, I didn't realize what they were. And so this poem kind of came from that. And when I talk to young people about their gifts and when I talk to young people about potential, I use this poem as a segue. And what I say to them is that I believe that each of us as human beings was born with a natural ability to do great things in our lives. That it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what you look like, the color of your skin, the texture of your hair, what level of education you have, what resources you have or you don't have, whether there's a mom in your life, a dad in your life, whether you were brought up by your grandmoms, it doesn't matter that each of us as human beings, we have something special and that if we can cultivate it, if we can grow it, if we can, you know, dig deep within ourselves and pull it out, we can do great things. And so this message is about making most of what we have. And each of us, we have a lot, and sometimes we don't realize it. I want to share a story with you, and I'm kind of going to tweak it a little bit. But the story is called Acres of Diamond. And it was a story that I'm borrowing from this minister. His name is Norman Cromwell. And this is how the story goes. So there was this guy by the name of Ali Hafed. And Ali was a very, very wealthy person. He had hundreds of acres of land. He had livestock and farming equipment and, you know, a lot of resources. He had a very big family and was told he was one of the richest persons in the region at the time. One day, Mr. Hafed had a conversation with this wise old man, and they were talking about the value of diamonds. And And so Ali was so excited and so intrigued about the value of diamonds and was comparing the value of diamonds in relation to what he had, and he didn't feel like he had enough. So he made a decision to move his family in with other family members and to sell off all the property and all the land and to use that money to go in search of diamonds because that was his fortune. And so he did that. And he did that for many years. And what happened was that, you know, time and resources really kind of didn't work in his favor. He never found the fortune. He got old, got frustrated, and ended up living a life of unhappiness. While all of this was going on, the land that he sold was being cultivated. And one of the workers one day was filling up a couple of buckets of water on in the stream that was on the property, and he seen a shiny object in the water. And so he picked it up, brought it back to the owner, and the owner went and had it appraised. And the shiny object was a diamond. And so the owner and the worker said, well, let's go back to where we found that diamond, and maybe there's more. So they went back, and they started digging deeper than they did the first time. And they found another diamond. And they started digging a little deeper. And they found another diamond, and another diamond, and another diamond. And so what ended up happening is the land that Mr. Hafed sold was sitting on the largest diamond mine in the world. And if he would have dug deeper in the resources that he had at that time, the fortune that he was searching for was right beneath him. I use this metaphor when I think about my life and how I almost sold off the precious resources that I have, my ability to connect and love and hopefully empower people to see that they have those things too. And what we do at the Urban Ministry is we use those concepts. We help people realize that they are sitting on something great. We help people realize that they too, despite the circumstances that they find themselves in, can transform their lives, transform their circumstances, transform their thinking, and transform their hearts. And this work is so critical. And so I thank you for your belief, your courage, and your ability to allow us to do this work. I thank you for who you are. And whether you're doing it here in Stowe, which is an important community for you to do this work in because your family and children and there are other families and children in this community, it's also important that you support us. And I believe in reciprocity. So it's not just about what you can do for us in Boston. Those of us in Boston, if we can, should try to figure out how we can support you all, even if it's in learning together and coming together and really realizing the differences that exist are really not true because we are more similar and we have more in common than many of us believe. I thank you for your support and your belief. If we all continue to dig deeper in our lives and use our resources not only to help others but to help those around us, I truly believe that we will make this world a better place. Thank you, and I appreciate all the support and love that you've extended to the Urban Ministry, to the staff and the clients that we serve.
Before we leave, I wish to let you know next week will be an extraordinary service at both. It's our Association Sunday. The Reverend John Cresswell will be coming from North Carolina. He's the advisor to the president of the Urban Ministry. He will be our very dynamic and exciting preacher, and the music of the choir is going to be just outstanding. So make a special effort to come next week and bring friends as well. Our words of benediction come from the book of James. Be doers of the word and not mere hearers. Those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty and justice, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing.